Harry Kim studied the photograph through thick-lensed reading glasses. The Chinese characters that adorned the back of the belt plaque were old and worn, but still visible.
This is a very old language. It looks like Cantonese, though, not classical Chinese. Do you know any?
Not the language, but I know what the difference is. The Qin dynasty established the written language that's become known as classical Chinese so that Emperor Qin Shi Huang and his advisors could keep track of the various provinces they subjugated. The Qin dynasty didn't remain in power too long.
Indeed, they did not. You might know more about China's history than I do, Miss Creed.
Unfortunately, though, I don't know the language.
I do, though just a little. The problem with language is that it changes over the years.
I know. Slang, references to people, places, and events, new technology, new philosophical or social thinking. All of those things get introduced into a culture and come out as new words or terms somewhere.
Your parents must be very proud of you.
I don't have any parents. I'm an orphan.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
It's okay.
Family is important. One should not go through this world alone.
I agree.
In Chinese culture, family is one of our most precious possessions. In fact, that is the meaning of the words on this belt plaque.
It's a family history?
Partly, but it's larger than that. I can't understand everything here. Cantonese is largely dependent on common usage. There are references here that I simply don't understand.
Anya reached into her pocket, removing her PDA. Drawing out the stylus, she called to life her universal translation program.
Let's work on what you can understand.
After several hours, Anya glared at the sparse information Harry Kim had gleaned from the inscription on the back of the belt plaque. She hated being stymied.
Have you ever heard of a place called the City of the Sands?
No, not before this photograph, at least.
What about in legend or in myth?
To tell the truth, I'd not even heard of Lulan City before today, Miss Creed. You were the one with the knowledge of that place. You said Lulan City was near the desert, though. Perhaps it was known as the City of the Sands.
Anya stood and stretched. That possibility just didn't feel right to her. She had no other explanation for it than that. So much of archaeology remained based on conjecture and educated guesswork. The absence of facts could be very frustrating.
Lulan City was at the northeastern edge of the Taklamakan Desert.
Michelle had been quiet until now. She sat at her computer, staring intently at several web pages that sat open on the screen. She'd obviously been following the discussion. Anya recognized the website as one of the pages she had visited before coming to California.
It says here that a Chinese archaeological team is working a dig in that area right now. According to this, Dr. Michael Hu has returned to the dig site to follow up on the Chinese mummy that was found in,
1980.
You already knew that?
I did a lot of research before I came out here. Not just on the California gold rush and Chinese immigration, but on things that were currently going on over there. Dr. Hu's work caught my eye.
Dr. Hu appears to be a good-looking man.
He's also published a number of papers and a few books on the history of the Silk Road. He seems very knowledgeable. From what I gathered, Dr. Hu is there looking for some more evidence of the Mesolithic culture that settled there before the city sprang up.
Would that tie into this?
I don't see how. The belt plaque might be 1,000 years old or more, but the Mesolithic era is generally assumed to have started 10,000 years ago.
Moving on, I can make out from the writing that this belt plaque also mentions the curse. It says that not only is the bearer of this belt plaque cursed, but so are all his progeny.
Can you make out what the bearer was cursed with? Or why?
If the reason is written here, I can't fathom it. I can make out something about a fox spirit, though. Are you familiar with those legends?
Yes. The fox spirit was supposed to be a fairy that lived on the life force stolen from men. It was supposed to be made up of yin, the female force. She sought out yang, the male force, and fed on it.
If you believe in such things, that is. These are enlightened times, Miss Creed. No one believes in fox spirits anymore.
I'm sure there are still believers. I've seen some pretty strange things in my day.
Perhaps you are right. I've seen things in my lifetime that I haven't been able to explain.
Can you make out from the writing why the original bearer of the belt plaque was cursed?
Not exactly. There is a mention of some great wrong. I can only figure out that it had to do with the demise of the City of the Sands. I suppose it could mean the city itself, but it would make more sense if the person who delivered the curse were an emperor or a warlord or a leader of some kind.
Did Ban Zeshu know the belt plaque was cursed?
Remember, Miss Creed, it's not the belt plaque that was cursed. It was the original ancestor and all those who came after him.
Still, why would Ban Zeshu carry the belt plaque? Why would he want a constant reminder that his family had been cursed?
I have no idea. I presume he would not need to be reminded.
I'm still surprised that no one would have gotten rid of it along the way.
Well, certainly the belt plaque was worth something to a collector.
Perhaps Ban Zeshu or his family were not the original owners of the belt plaque. He could have purchased it or stolen it. Perhaps this man, Huang Fu Cao, who contacted you and brought you here, had discovered the belt plaque had been taken from his family.
Who would want a cursed heirloom, Dad?
Someone who didn't know what it was. Or someone who believed that getting rid of the belt plaque would have brought forth even worse luck.
There's no family name on the belt plaque?
No.
It looks like we're at a dead end.
I'm sorry we couldn't be of any more help. If you ever find out the truth of the belt plaque, I would very much like to know. For my book.
Of course. I hope that one day I can tell you that story.
As she approached the pier on the south side of Wangpu Park, Kelly spotted the boat she was looking for. It was a ramshackle affair that had never seemed seaworthy, but it had been home to generations of the same family. It was much larger than the traditional sampans most river dwellers lived on. 30 feet long and nearly 15 feet wide, covered by sun-faded cloth draped over a bamboo skeleton, the boat offered luxurious accommodations when compared to the other craft around it. Rubber tires lashed to the sides served as bumpers. The Chinese flag flew proudly on the stern. An array of antennae protruded at the ship's stern as well. She was named Fragrant Moon Lotus after Tse Chu Yu's beloved wife. Seeing the boat made Kelly feel a little safer. Tse Chu Yu had been a good friend of her father's ever since she could remember. He was one of the few men she'd known when she was young who hadn't looked down on her simply for being female. She wondered if it was wrong to bring such awful troubles to the door of an old man. But the image of her father's dead body, the bruised and battered features, the cuts and burns, overpowered whatever guilt she might feel. She strode forward towards the ship, knowing that inside was the only person in all of Shanghai that she could trust.